Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday, we release these special episodes that we're calling Classic Risk Singles. Each of these episodes features just one story from our earlier years. If you're new to Risk, you should know that the podcast can be very uncensored. This week, a story by the brilliantly funny writer and actor Andre Dubuchet that he first shared on the podcast in December of 2010. It's called The Experiment.
I'm not a fuck guy. I'm a relationship guy. I lived in New York City from about 96 through 2009, actually. And for almost the entirety of that time, I had a girlfriend. I was in a very long-term relationship until about like spring of 2004, and then I met my current I met my wife, my one and only wife, who's not here, in 2005. So for about 1 year, for most of 2004, I did my best to be a fuck guy, this one story occurred during that period of time. It happened on July 8th, 2004, and the reason I remember the date so specifically is because one of my favorite movies of all time is Anchorman, and that particular night I was going to the midnight, opening midnight show of Anchorman by myself, pretty drunkenly. So I was walking down the street, kind of galumphing along with my backpack, kind of tipsy. This was on about Broadway and 83rd Street. I'm heading into the Lowe's movie theater there. It's about like 11:30. I've got about half an hour till Anchorman starts. And as I'm walking by the corner of 83rd and Broadway, I hear a woman's voice say, "Excuse me." So I turn around, and there's this very pleasant-looking woman standing there. She was, I can't even really remember what she looked like at this point. Pleasant, just not particularly attractive, but not, ugly enough for the story not to occur. I was just out of it. I looked at her, and she asked me point blank. She said, "Are you married?" And I said, "No." And then she asked me, "Are you gay?" I said, "No." And then she said, are you willing to listen to an offer that will probably sound too good to be true?" I was like, "Sure, why not?" So to the best of my recollection, this is what her very kind of strange explanation was. She said, "I'm a yoga instructor. I'm from Chicago. I'm in town staying at a friend's place just for tonight. Tonight only. And I'm doing," this is what she said, "I'm doing some experiments with my energy, and I can't do this one alone. here's what I propose. We go up to my friend's apartment. And she points to the building that we're standing right next to. You wash your cock. That was her choice of words. I give you head until you come, and then you leave. And so I just sort of stood there nodding and listening. And then after like a pause, I literally said, well, you can understand my skepticism. And she sort of chuckled, and she was like, oh, of course. And I was like, well, yes, as you can, you know, but let's continue this conversation. I was like, so if you're serious, if we go up there, there's not going to be anybody else there, right? And she's like, oh, no, of course not. I was like, yeah. I'm not going to be, you know, there's not going to be some video camera taping this. No, no, no. I'm not going to get robbed, am I? And she was like, no. So I guess in the state of mind I was in, I figured, all right, well, she has aced all of these questions. Everything seems to be on the up and up. Let's go for it. So I said, sure, let's head on in. So we head on into this very nice doorman apartment building. We get in the elevator. She explains to me that there's a few ground rules. Once we get to this apartment, I'm not going to be allowed to speak at all. I have to take my shoes off when we go in. And then, you know, I have to wash my cock and she'd give me a head till I can. And then I would have to leave after the coming. And she must have noticed me checking my watch, because she asked me, well, do you have somewhere you need to be? And I was like, well, I have tickets for the midnight screening of Anchorman, the new Will Ferrell movie. I like his stuff. And she said, well, who knows? Maybe you'll still make it. And very, very foreboding words. So so basically, things began to unfold the way she described. We got to this apartment. We went in. The apartment was dark. There were no lights turned on. I had to take my shoes off. I remember one weird detail. I remember seeing a bowl of fruit on a coffee table, but all the price tags were on the fruit. Like, each individual piece of fruit had a price tag, which I guess is common. But at the time, I was like, oh, little details. That will, I'm gonna, that's a detail that will be in the police report. Somehow the fact that the fruit was individually priced. Ah, Dubuche, what are you doing? It's too late now. She aced those questions. So she said, all right, well, you gotta go wash up. So I went to the bathroom, and while we were still in the elevator, I actually explained to her, you know, I think I'm gonna take a full shower, because I've had some, I didn't say this to her, but I had had some wiping misadventures earlier in the day, and there was just no way I was going to feel comfortable enough for this to occur unless I really took care of everything. Wiping misadventures. No relation to the popular kids series of books based on that same name. So I went into the bathroom, I got undressed, I took a shower, and while I'm in the shower, I'm starting to get, you know, starting to plump up just a little bit with excitement at all of this. And I also noticed that there's a lot of little containers of various, you know, lotions and notions and whatnot in the bathroom. And I think one of them was actually called, like, pleasure gel or whatever, and, you know, another detail. So I walk out of the bathroom, stark naked, into this dark apartment. To the left is the area I had just walked through, like the living room with the coffee table and everything. And to the right is kind of a curving hallway leading to the bedroom. So I walk down this hallway and I enter the master bedroom, which is very nice. It's got like floor-to-ceiling windows. You can see like New York City, the Upper West Side below. And at the other end of the room, you can see is the woman standing there naked as well. So there we both were, standing there naked. Fair to say, both of us needed to get to the gym. But only one of us had described themselves as a yoga instructor. That was not me. So that was another detail. I was like, oh. So there's a bed there covered in, it was like a fully made bed, but the whole bed was also covered in a white sheet. It was like the stage has been set, you know. So I lie down on the bed. She you know, kind of ambled up and got between my legs and started giving me a blowjob. Some quick details about my penis. My penis is a lot like Vincent D'Onofrio. Not huge by any means, but putting forth really excellent work in a lot of low-profile roles. And is like very is well respected despite a kind of a reputation for unreliability and quirkiness. You're like, you don't always know what you're gonna get. So, all right. So anyway, she went to work. I was responding well. I started to get hard, and she was giving me a blowjob, very gently, slowly, great stuff, velvety, to use a cheese term. And so. But this very slow, sensual part only lasted, like, I don't know, like 20 seconds. And then immediately, as if she really wanted to get this over with, she just went full throttle, like really kind of monotonously, violently, you know, whacking away. And I don't like that, you know. So I start to get flaccid again, which makes her just try even harder and more violently. Like, she's just, like, trying to unclog something, like a plunger. I don't know how, what you would, like a, I don't know, start a lawnmower. So anyway, I had to say something. I was like, you need to slow down. And she got very huffy, and it almost ended right there, but she was like, well, I make the rules, and this is my, you know. So finally, you know, I got the, I want to condense the very end here, but she, I basically had to assist her for the final project to, you know, be completed and for it to air. So I basically, like, she kind of did some token assistance with her mouth, and I kind of just finished things off with my hand. I never really fully regained rigidity. And it, at the end of it, it was just kind of like, you know, when there's barely any ketchup left in a ketchup bottle, and it's just, you know. Better get the waiter. There's no more, you know. I'm not gonna eat this burger. But, all right, so here's where it gets weird. I come in her mouth, and then any semen that doesn't get in her mouth, she also sucks up off of me. So she's got all of it in her mouth. And then she's like, like, you have to leave now. But she never spits it out or swallows it. And so the last thing I saw as I, like, hurriedly putting my clothes on, and she wouldn't even let me put my shoes on. I had to do that out in the hall. She just kind of shooed me out the door. So the last thing I see as she shuts the door behind me is her puffy-cheeked with my semen in her mouth. So then I went downstairs and I saw Anchorman. That's the story. I'll let you draw your own conclusions as to what that was all about. Thank you.
That's all for this week's Classic Risk Singles episode. Now, don't miss out on our regular full-length episodes. There's a brand new one every Tuesday. And everything you might want to know about us is at risk-show.com.